So basically, we're just going to look through Judges 16 and see what we can learn from Samson's life here. I know the title of the message is God's Intervention in Samson's Life. But the theme verse comes from John 15:5. Who's got that memorized? Anybody? Isn't that on your list? John 15:5. He that abided in me, and I in him. Yeah, do you remember that? Stand up so and tell me. Wait a second. Stand up and say it loud. Shh. Laura's talking, everyone. Shh. You can't remember it. Okay. All right, I'll turn there myself. So, huh? And you got 5,000 points for getting all your... All right, that shows you that we have very good short-term memories, don't we? But you need to put them into your long-term memory so that you can think about them. Okay, I'm going to read from John 15:5, and then we're going to pray, okay? So it says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for youth camp, Lord. Thank you for the souls that have been saved, Father. Thank you for great friends, Lord. And just all we've been able to learn from your word. Thank you, Lord, for working on our hearts. Thank you for especially Brother Dan's message last night, Lord. And just thank you, Lord, that your word still has such great power, Lord. And though heaven and earth will pass away, your words won't pass away, Lord. So I pray that we take your word seriously and appreciate your word seriously, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you just work in our hearts. And I pray this morning as well, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will be here, just speaking to each one of us, Lord, and just making us more like Christ, Lord. So I pray for these things, and I pray you bless in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we learned yesterday just how Samson got into the bondage of sin, and how he began to lose absolutely everything in his life. You know, we see a progression going down from immediately when you come to Judges 14, he saw. And then right from that point then, he just starts losing everything. He's not around his parents anymore. He's going down to Gaza. He's going down to Timnah. He's going just progressively going to places where he shouldn't go. And we found out over the week as well just how everything began to lose everything. His marriage went sour. And he just lost contact with his own people. And basically, he was living like a Philistine. All right? And like Brother Dan preached last night as well, we're going to find out in Judges 16 how he reaches something like Leighton Kelly's coming tonight, something like what addicts call rock bottom or just total ruin, okay? There's no further almost that he could go, if you know what I mean by that, because of all that he sowed, all that he planted, all those bad decisions that he made throughout his life, okay? But we'll also see, the title of this message is God's Intervention in Samson's Life. We'll also see just how through the grace of God, who's got a definition for grace... Grace. Put up your hand if you know. Or show your pen on the ground. Sir? Good, good. Undeserved. Just basically getting what we don't deserve, right? That's grace, okay? So most of us don't use grace when someone annoys us, right? Dean, if I annoyed you, you probably wouldn't extend grace towards me, would you? You'd probably kick me in the shin, huh? Okay, that's not grace, right? Okay, good. Okay, but we'll find out today just how true the grace of God, getting what we don't deserve... he's brought to a place of repentance. He's brought to a place of just 180 degree turning from all of the ways he used to live, his sin and himself. And he turns to God and he turns to his will and his ways. And we just see what God's able to do. When he does that, God works miraculously in his life just one final time. And that one call to God achieved more than Samson achieved in his whole life, which was just... I think that is so amazing, just what God can do. What God can do with one decision. Yes, Samson came to total ruin, and but we don't want to get to that place. If we make one decision today, imagine what the rest of our life could be like. We don't have to be like the thief on the cross. We don't have to be like Samson. We can make that decision early, and like Samuel, have a life full of righteousness. Okay? So that's if there's one thing I want you to learn from today, or one thing... I do pray that you do learn today from all the preaching from Brother Leighton Kelly as well as Pastor in the afternoon, is that you shouldn't wait till the last moment. It's Friday, right? Some of us haven't made decisions for Christ. Some of us haven't made, we've been presented and our conscience has brought up things in our life and we're still willing to hold on to those things, okay? And just don't wait till that last moment, okay? If you hadn't gotten saved already and you know that you're not saved, get saved today. If you haven't got your heart right, today is the day. Today is the day to get right. If you haven't made a decision to start listening to godly music instead of the music that you know that's on your phone, that's at home on your iPad, even if you just left it at home, if you make that decision today to start listening to right music, to start hanging around with some godly friends, okay? And also, if you do have friends that you haven't spoken to or haven't let them know or challenged them about their eternity, that you would make a decision today and pray to God, give me an opportunity to speak to them, just to say something. I haven't said anything. So just make that decision. Today is a day to make that decision, okay? So Judges 16, let's look at the first three verses. Judges chapter 16 in your Bibles. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. So, Samson, I mean, a lot of guys would like to hang out with Samson. He's a pretty funny guy, like, all right. And he's a pretty popular guy, pretty successful guy. And you see here, Samson's he's just living the way he always has. And as we learned, was that on Tuesday? He's just doing what comes naturally. Yeah? Do you remember that devotion? Just doing, it's easy to do what comes naturally, isn't it? All right. So, as I've already said, he's going places that no Jew should ever go. He was actually from Israel. Little did we realize when we look at his life. And never mind, a Nazarite shouldn't be going into these places, okay? These were the enemies of God. And just a little challenge here on the side. Are you going to places where you shouldn't? Have you been there where no Christian should ever go? Do you have friends that, you know, I really shouldn't have those friends, you know, but perhaps you're afraid that, you know, if you make that decision and cut off those friends, that maybe you'll have no friends. But God's better than that to you, and you know that. Or what about for you guys? I don't know how the session went yesterday. Unfortunately, I didn't get to be there. You know, with girls and things like that, we know that the Bible says a lot more about those things, about girls and boys, about relationships, than we'd like to admit, okay? And doing what comes naturally, obviously, like Brother Dan said last night, you could lose your purity in the blink of an eye. And you just got to be careful. What about the internet? The internet is a dangerous place, and there's a lot of filters and things like that can be put in, but they never seem to really be as strong as they need to be, okay? And we heard from another preacher, I think it was Kevin, that he that wandered out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. And this is Samson right here, okay? So just be careful about what you see. And again, I mentioned that Brother Dad said that last night. He mentioned three or four people last night, all right, who were the same, similar example to Samson. Did you remember the illustrations that he used? Four different people in his message. Who? Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the plain that it was well watered. He did the exact same thing as Samson, yeah? Who else? Abraham. Oh, Moses. Moses smote the rock? Okay, cool. Excellent, very good. I don't know what he saw. I guess he saw red, right? We're going to say that. Okay. So what else? David. David looked out the window. He looked through his window. He should have been out fighting a battle of the Lord. And instead he saw Bathsheba. And there was one more person. Wasn't there? Who? Noah was a righteous man. So not entirely. He looked. He did. Okay, but Brother Dan mentioned a fourth person here, Achan. Achan saw. Remember that wedge of gold in the garments? And that was the falling of him. So just remember that the Bible says, mine eye affected mine heart. And we just see from there, just to warn you about the place that you go and the things that you see, that's where it all starts, okay? Obviously, you can't smoke a cigarette if you're not around cigarettes, right? Okay. So, for Samson, back to the story anyway. Everything is going just fine and going exactly the way he wants it to go, just like we read here in the first three verses. Little does he know at this stage that he's gone way far beyond gone way too far into sin that there's going to be serious consequences. And he doesn't see that coming at all, okay? The Bible says that destruction will come suddenly. But he thinks he's in total control, right? He's got the situation under hand. Yes, Philistines want to kill him, but they've always wanted to kill him, right? So nothing new there. And all Samson has to do is to just, whenever he feels like it, he gets up. He decides at midnight to get up. And he just walks right out of there. All right, these guys want to kill him. They're laying in wait for him. And even just to humiliate them a little further, he just picks up the gates, not just the gates with the bars and the posts of the gate, and he just walks off with them. And the gates were supposed to be the security of the whole town or whatever, and he just walks away with them. That shows just how strong he was, and just how puny they were, okay? So he thinks he's in control, right? But sin is deceiving, and it deceives every person into thinking that they can handle it, that they are in total control, okay? That's what you hear smokers saying. What do smokers say? I can stop whenever I want. And you hear the guys, they'll talk about that in the pub or whatever. They're like, I'm going to put down the cigarettes now for the next week. Show you this, whatever. And maybe they do, but they go straight back to it again, okay? That's what smokers say about smoking. That's what boy racers say about speeding. Don't they? They're like, you know, oh yeah, speed kills. I've seen the ads on the TV, right? But that guy, he can't drive at all, but I'm awesome at driving, boy. And watch this handbrake turn, you know? And the guys are like, I'm in total control. And then, like we were with Brother Dan, then they wrap their car right around a tree, and then they find out they're not in total control. But it's too late, isn't it? Okay? Perhaps that's what you say about your godly friends. Yeah, they're talking about this stuff and that stuff that's not right. They're going to places that you know they shouldn't go, and you're going with them. But it's okay, you know? I'll be all right. I'll be fine. Evil communications corrupt good manners doesn't mean anything to me. I'm in control, and that's just the way things are going to go. And this is what Samson was saying here. Okay? But he wasn't taking Proverbs seriously when it says in 6:27, it says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burnt? All right? So the Bible says a little leaven leaveneth a whole lump. So none of you want to believe it. None of us want to believe it really in our flesh. We don't want to believe that the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. But unfortunately, just like Samson, we're just going to ignore that verse as well. And pretty soon, we end up trapped just like Samson is. So if you go to Judges 16:4, we'll see how Samson gets trapped. It came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. So, as we know from Samson's reputation, that this wasn't the first time he fell in love, yeah? Or the first time he was chasing women. But it was to be his last. And this is why the Bible says to keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. That's in Proverbs 4. Did you know that you can fall in love with anyone? You can fall in love with anyone, Mike. Alright? But I think this is a great truth, but every movie tells the story of some guy or some girl finding the one. Yeah? Their one true love. Take it even in the cartoons, you know, Tangled or whatever, you know? And all this kind of stuff. But this is actually a lie of the devil, okay? No one is really God's will for your life, or you can't be sure until you are married to that person, okay? So all this girlfriend, boyfriend stuff, you can't be sure that it's God's will until you commit that day, all right? Just the movies, they're always trying to say that, you know, there's, you know, this person, I was made for them or whatever. They're my soulmate, right? But I remember this one preacher was saying, what if some guy married the wrong girl about 400 years ago? All right, that messes it up for everyone, isn't it? If someone's made for you, and then that person marries somebody else, then that guy then has to go marry another wrong girl, and then the wrong girl has the boy has to marry the wrong girl, another girl, because his girl is taken, and then pretty much nobody's made for anybody. After a couple of years, 100 years down the road, right? So I thought that was funny, but Samson, he loved Delilah, but Delilah wasn't really God's will for his life, okay? She wasn't made for him. Besides the fact that God commanded the Jews not to marry any of the enemies in God, check it out in Deuteronomy 7, Delilah didn't love Samson at all, did she? Alright? He was just her toy boy or whatever, and she was like, I'm with him, he's so strong, or whatever, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But she was easily bought by the Philistines. I think they could have offered a lot less money. We'll find out there in the next verse. the lords of the Philistines, in verse 5, they came up unto her and said, entice him and see where his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Does anyone know how much David paid for the threshing floor in Jerusalem? 50? Okay. Excellent. 50 pieces of silver for a piece of land, yeah? All right. How much is a servant or a slave, let's say, in the Old Testament? Maybe 20 to 30 pieces? Yeah, shekels or whatever. 1,100 each. Okay, that's a ton of money. This is like the Euro Lotto or whatever, okay? So she was his ticket to, or he was her ticket to just, I don't know what you want to call it, extravagance. So she was just using him, okay? So Samson, basically the whole title of that part is Samson is just continuing in sin. So Samson continues in sin, but the second thing, Samson is complacent. Who knows what complacent means? All right, let's continue. So, okay, verse 6, we'll read it and I'll explain. And Delilah said unto Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green wits that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the Lord of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green wits which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the wits as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto him, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest 7 locks of my head with a web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he waked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. I love that. So I'm sure this isn't the first time that Samson has been asked for this. What's the source of his strength, yeah? I'm sure he had great fun, and any of you probably would or whatever, if someone kept asking you about it, you come up with all these silly answers, yeah? And I'm sure he had fun doing that. Like we read, I'm sure you have the Reverend Fun things in your booklets, yeah? They say, oh, you thought my strength would go if you put out the rubbish? And I'm sure he had a great time with that, okay? But the thing was, Samson was just playing, as much as Delilah was playing with her, he was playing with her, okay? He had become very complacent towards sin and towards the danger of losing his Nazarite vow. Okay? So, you can just tell here he thinks he's just invincible, and he doesn't sense any danger or any need just to go, well, we were not going to talk about that. So, to be complacent is, just to get back to my point, is to think you're fine. Are any of us complacent here? To not be careful. Okay? That's the easiest way I could describe it. In sports, teams that are ahead, let's say, by a lot of points, if they're soccer and they're 3-0 up and they're in the 60th or 70th minute of the game, teams can get complacent. And they can go, oh, you know, it's in the bag or whatever, so we'll be grand and we'll just sit back and blah, blah, blah. And we don't have to work as hard. There's a great story about one of the golfers, I think it was Arnold Palmer. And he was playing golf and he was in a Masters Championship and he was on one or two holes left or whatever, and everyone was like, oh man, he's going to win again or whatever, that guy's so good. And he was chipping the ball up and up to the fairway, and I think it was almost the last green, and he chipped it up and laid it up right next to the thing in the flag. It was brilliant. It was, you know, the best shot he could have done or whatever. And everyone was like, yeah, wow, he's amazing and stuff. And as he was walking up to the green, this guy came over and goes, congratulations, you know. And he was like, oh, thanks, you know. And then he went over And he missed. And he was like, oh, everyone thought he was going to win. And he missed one of the easiest putts. He made loads of harder ones for the whole tournament, and he missed. He got complacent, and he just he lost his focus. And that's what complacency is, okay? So can you see how proud Samson is here? He's just playing with her. He's like, oh, you know, just tie me up with this, and sorry, you know? And he's just playing around, and it's just nothing to him, okay? But God hates pride, though, okay?
He says it's wicked. He hates a proud look. And it's wicked because the source of Samson's strength wasn't in himself. What did he have to be proud about? The Bible speaks about why are we proud over the things that we're able to do if we've received them from God anyway, okay? And it was God, it was from God, and he should have been using it for his God's purpose and glory. Without God, he was weak. Without God, he would probably stop breathing, or his heart would stop beating. Without God, he probably would have died years before, okay? But God intervened. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and he tore that lion apart. But he should have died, shouldn't he? If any of us met a lion, we'd just be burgers and chips, wouldn't we? Okay? I don't know where the chips would come from, but anyway. All right? So, without God, he was nothing. And God only kept him alive because he could use him to break the yoke of the Philistines for God's people. Okay, so it wasn't just for Samson. God had a bigger plan. So my challenge again, have you been despising or abusing God's goodness to you? All of us here have great health. You've been able to stay up till all hours of night and still come here and pay attention, right? Okay, so the Bible says, "Or despisest thou the goodness and forbearance and long-suffering God, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Despises to put at low. Like, you know, if you despise something, you don't think it's worth much at all. You're just sad. And that's abusing God's goodness. Are you right now hardening your heart towards God instead of having a softness and a great thankfulness in your heart for his goodness? Or are you harsh and judgmental towards people in your spirit? You don't even have to express that to them. You just have to have it in your heart. The Bible says in 1 John that he that hated his brother... okay, I'll go there actually. 1 John... Let's read this. 1 John 4:20. 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to get one of you guys to read it so you don't fall asleep.
Bianca.
Are you there? 1 John 4:20. Verse 20. Nice and loud. First John 4.
I think that's
if a man. Okay, good, read 21. Okay, good. So, are we despising God's goodness to us? And I guess I would just, on this point as well, just how we use our words. The point was, the Pharisees thought that they were right with God, didn't they? Okay? That they were holy and they were righteous. And, you know, we might think, oh, just because we're coming to church, we're going to youth camp, whatever, we're better than someone else or whatever. And we might just get judgmental or harsh in our spirits. But we need to look to our authorities. We need to know, what does your pastor say? Does he think that you're walking with God, that you're doing okay? Or what about your parents? Okay? Or what about your team leaders? So, isn't it amazing how forgiving God is, okay? Even though Samson is just abusing God's goodness, God is still keeping him alive. God is still providing him with food every day. God is still keeping him healthy. And but he's just using all that just for his own purposes, and he doesn't think twice about it. I'm sure he doesn't pray before he eats or anything like that. He just, you know, I deserve it. It's coming to me. And I just amazing how forgiving God is, you know. And the point in going to this verse then was like, we're not very forgiving towards other people, even though God is forgiving towards us. We don't find it easy to forgive other people, and we're not going to find that easy unless we're walking in the Spirit. I'm sure Nico has seen some of you guys get annoyed with each other during sports. Or I know I've already heard about people getting annoyed with each other in their rooms and a bit of retaliation and things, right? Or maybe some of you aren't getting enough sleep and you're not being very Christian towards each other at 3 o'clock in the morning or or whatever, okay? So how quick, if someone stands on your toes or someone offends you, how quick are you to forgive them with all your heart? We think that when we read the Bible, and that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that somehow it's easy for God to forgive us. Do you think it's easy for God to forgive us? What do you think, Nathan? Is it easy for God to forgive us? Is it just like, you know, God, I'm sorry. Okay, that's fine. I was getting off my back. Okay, you're right. And it took everything for God to be able to extend forgiveness towards us. Okay? It cost him his well-beloved son, in whom he was well-pleased, yeah? His only son. It took Jesus humbling himself to become a man, and as the Bible says, humbling himself and becoming obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. And he shed his blood and laid down his life so that a wicked sinner like you and me could have forgiveness. So we ought to be forgiving towards one another. My pastor is one of the most forgiving people I've ever met. I've never come across, like in my life or whatever, until I met Christians, until I met people walking with God, people so full of grace towards one another. And just make sure you think about your parents and you just tell them thanks. Thanks for putting up with you, you know, the grief that you put them through sometimes. Just be thankful and don't be like Samson and just walk through and just be all about self, and you're more worried about your sore finger or something ridiculous, okay? So Samson, first thing, Samson was continuing in sin, right? Next, he was complacent. And third, Samson is finally cornered, okay? So we're back in Judges 16. Katie, can you read Judges 16, 15 to 17. Not too loud. Okay, and 17 as well. Weak like an elder man, huh? Most of the guys don't like hearing that. Good. So Samson is cornered. Okay, so can we see the progression? Even from through the chapters from this week, but just notice the progression. Samson's lifestyle has now cornered him. It's trapped him. Okay? So all the bad choices he's ever made have derailed him from the will of God gradually. Okay? And eventually brought him to this place. And just like we mentioned already, just like Lot, when he lived in Sodom, or when he actually first pitched his tent towards Sodom, and then he ended up just in Sodom, okay? He didn't start by just walking straight in there. It was a process. Okay? So, Samson is being so vexed. Does anyone know what vexed means? Do you know what that means, Jack? Vexed. Alright, what about you, Marcus? Stressed. Okay, that's a good way of putting it. Grieved. Alright? So, he's stressed unto death. That's a funny way of putting it. Alright, that girl is really nagging him and a contentious woman would rather go in to a corner of her house sap, right? Okay, so, she's vexing him from day to day, okay? That he just wants to die. And his strength isn't enough. His muscle strength isn't enough to keep that nagging away, is it? Okay? So this is kind of like his resistance towards sin. He doesn't have any strength in that sense, so the arm of flesh, like we sing, failed him there, okay? So this kind of woman or whatever I've written down here, it says in Proverbs, she had cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Okay, so we just, like we learned yesterday, it's a spiritual law. You mess with sin, brings forth death. And like we were talking about pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And although Samson was given plenty of time, plenty of opportunity, how many years did he judge Israel? 20 years, okay? That's a long time, God's long suffering, isn't it? But there, enough is enough at this stage. I wonder how long, if you continue in sin, how long did you have left? Because this is truth. This isn't just a story. This isn't just a movie, okay? This is Samson's life testimony. If he was standing here, this is what he would tell you, okay? This is his life story. And the Bible records these, it says in Romans 15:4 that we through, that they're written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope, okay? So you get to hear this stuff. You get to hear the testimony that someone gives you, just to help you out so that you might have hope in the struggles that you're going through and that you might be comforted, as well by the scriptures, okay? So Samson is finally cornered, and then in the end, then he's captured. So I'm going to continue reading here in verse 18. And when Delilah saw that he told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he had showed me all his heart." Then the lord of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. So the mighty Samson is finally defeated. But not in battle with a giant Philistine like Goliath, and not by a show of force or of a 10,000 strong Philistine army, but just by yielding to a woman's words. If anything, that should show you the power of words. Yeah? Let me get to the next page. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. But turn to Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 16. Jamie, you got that?
"Knowing not that to whom you will be yourselves servants will be, the servants here to whom you will be, whether of sin or to death or obedience or to what you."
Okay. So, in this context, whose word are you obeying? Samson obeyed the words of Delilah, and it was to his destruction. So who are you obeying? Are you obeying your friends and what they say to do? Or are you obeying your parents? Are you obeying your own wisdom? Do you think you know how to sort it out, fix it? You have a plan? Are you obeying your pastor? What about your Bible? Or even are you obeying your music? Music teaches you a ton of stuff. If I say, is it perfectly okay that you're born this way? A lot of you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Or some of you know when I say, should you never say never? All right. The music has a message, and it's packed. Like my brother Dan was explaining yesterday, the worm is music that you like to listen to, the catchy tune and all that kind of thing. But there's actually a hook underneath. But instead, you can build your life on the Bible instead of all of those things, those negative things that I mentioned, like bad friends or bad music or having your own plan, because we're not wise enough for these things. You can build your life in the Bible. You can have God's promises through life's toughest trials. And I know some of us are going through trials here. Some of you guys, you need to hear from God, because you've got hurting hearts. So you've got issues. You've got a difficult family situation. And the answers are here in God's word. You can have God for you no matter who is against you. You can have his word, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And when you go home, if you don't let God take a hold of you at this camp and continue to walk with him, something else is gonna get a hold of you. Or maybe it still has a grip and this camp hasn't helped you at all. And then you're going to end up with a lot of regrets. I mean, we probably already have enough more regrets than we need. The Bible says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life." And that's basically where we need to be. So back to Judges 16. Just going to finish this off. Just going to talk briefly through and just wrap this up. So she made him sleep upon her knees. Samson's conscience is seared at this point. And I was talking to Brother Dan and Graham, and I said, I really don't understand how he was... Well, I do, but just ask you the question. How could Samson have slept after giving away the secret of his strength to his enemies? It's just amazing that he would have a restful sleep after such a thing, after... He made a vow, a Nazarite vow, and he shouldn't have wanted to lose that. So he was so far gone that he didn't even realize that the Lord had departed from him, you know, as we read later. And I just believe that his conscience was just so seared. He was just so, you know, like I said, keep your heart with all diligence. You know, you can get to the place where you don't even have to think about it, you just sin automatically. How many of us, when we were, maybe before you were saved, that just out of your mouth just comes something that's ungodly. You just said just wicked things, and it just came out of you naturally. I remember when I was young, and my cousins, they were going to church and stuff, but I wasn't, and they kept pointing out to me how I was just cursing all the time, and I didn't even notice. That's just how we talked. It was just like English coming out of my mouth. Samson just got to that place where the devil didn't even have to tempt him anymore. He was just taken. But then in verse 20, it says, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out, as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. So he ends up just total servant, total slave to sin. And it's a sad thing. But all of that happened in his heart, we know, long before, okay? You ever heard the phrase, love is blind? Yeah? Your love towards sin will blind you. And it will bind you. And then you'll be made to serve in the prison house as well of your sin. Just like we saw those pictures Brother Dan put up of those drug addicts on crystal meth. They're serving their sin. There's people that Brother Leighton Kelly helps out. They have to steal to feed their heroin addiction. I used to work in a shop, and there was this heroin addict came in, and he threatened a 14-year-old girl who was working in a shop with a syringe. And it's just horrible. Why would you do that to a person? No, he just had to get a fix. And this is where Samson ended up. So we can just see how hard of a taskmaster sin is. So just the last point. Samson continues in sin. Samson is complacent. Samson's cornered, Samson is captured, but Samson finally calls on the Lord, okay? So without God, he's unable to stop sinning. Without God, he's unable to stop his ruin. And without God, the first verse we mentioned, he's unable to save himself from being captured by the Philistines. But there was a little bit of hope there, okay? In 22, howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the Lord of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon their God and to rejoice, for they said, our God had delivered Samson into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God had delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house. And he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full with men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines from my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, on which it was borne up of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself, and with all his might and bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein, so that the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zoar and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. So Samson finally calls on the Lord, and the greatest thing is that the Lord was still there for him, wasn't he? Isn't that amazing? So like we sing in our camp song, Samson finally learned it's by my spirit saith the Lord. This is really where we see God's intervention revealed. Like Jacob wrestling with the angel in his tent, Samson spent his life fighting with God. But in this chapter we find, or in this portion we find, that God wins, doesn't he? But Samson doesn't lose. Samson wins as well. This is the big thing, okay? This is what I want you to learn, okay? This wasn't a loss for Samson. He won too, because he got right. He could have just blamed God and simply waited until the Philistines killed him, but he looked to God. And it's then that we see that God allowed Samson to be hurt, to lose the things he loved, in order to break himself of his own arrogance, his own pride, and his own self-sufficiency, trusting in himself. What a blessing, teenager, when you realize that without God you are helpless, unable, you're in too deep, you're weak, lost, blind, in bondage, without any hope. What a blessing when you realize that you actually need God every moment of every day in your life to keep you clean and away from sin, to strengthen you, to guide you, to encourage you to do right, to keep you humble, to comfort you in times of trouble, to remind you that he loves you so much he gave you his son to die in your place. That happened when I got saved, and when I look back on my life and I looked at all that God had done, he brought me low. But I wouldn't change my upbringing, or, you know, I don't regret how God humbled me. Do you know that sort of idea? I didn't want to sin. You know, I wish I hadn't. But I'm glad that, you know, just by turning to God, that God could use that for good in my life. And if anything, you can see exactly where sin takes you. You know, like my dad as well. His testimony is that he was an alcoholic and he was struggling with drink. And you know, I might even be here. Do you know that sort of idea from the way that things were going? But my dad said to me that he can't regret being brought so low from the drink, because it brought him to a place, because he was so hard-hearted, proud, wanting to do stuff himself, that it took all of that to break him. And when he got saved, then that affected our whole family, and eventually one by one all our family got saved. And it's sad, and there's scars there, and you know, you wish you served God at a younger age and just had a clean life, and a life full of truth and full of grace, of course. But God was working. God was working there in my life. God was working in my dad's life. And my challenge to you today is to allow God to work in your life. Allow him to break you. Just turn to one more scripture, Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Just allow God to break you. This stone here is Jesus Christ. And if you fall on Jesus Christ, if you call upon him like Samson called, and just confess, just call out, "Oh Lord God," and acknowledge God, and then just see your life for what it is, your heart for what it is, your sin for what it is. Confessing is just admitting with God that he's right and we're wrong. That would be one step towards just being broken. Then like Samson, then you need to just believe God. to break your sinful heart, your sinful habits, your sinful ways. It says that Samson believed after he prayed and he took hold of those pillars. By faith, he did. And finally then, Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And this essentially is dying to self. Dying to, you know, he that findeth his life shall lose it, but he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. And that's just letting go. We're afraid to let go, though, aren't we? We're afraid that God will mess everything up. We don't like to not be in control, but if we're not really in control in the first place. Samson was never in control, but he thought he was, because he had all that ability. So that's my challenge to you today, that just to let God break you today. And I'm just going to pray. Father, you're so good to us, Father, and I just thank you, Lord, that even in trials and troubles, Lord, you can use them, Lord. You can use sinners like us, Father. You can work in our lives, Lord, and you can repair any situation, Lord. You can save to the uttermost, Lord, and you can deliver out of any situation, Lord, just by your Spirit, Father, not by any struggles that we do, Lord. If we would just allow you to work in our lives, Lord, and just except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, Lord, and abide it alone, Lord. But if it does die, Lord, it brings forth much fruit, Lord. And this is what we want in our lives, Father, Lord. And I pray for the teenagers, Lord, that you'd just help them to understand, Lord. Help them to open their eyes, Lord, and not be blinded by the god of this world, Lord. Help them to open their eyes and to look and live, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that if there's any that aren't saved this morning, Lord, that they would just seriously look, Lord, and say, how shall we escape, Lord, if we neglect so great salvation? I pray, Lord, for those teenagers, Lord, who just are neglecting making a decision, Lord, and just are just going to come out of youth camp and go the exact same way again, Lord. I pray that you just work on them, Lord, and bring them to a place, Lord, where they would allow themselves to be broken, Lord, and to be... If we will humble ourselves, Lord, you would exalt us in due time, Lord. So I just pray that we would have that right heart, that right spirit, Lord, and not be like Samson. We love you, Father, and we thank you, Lord, that you're so good to us, Lord. Your arm is outstretched still, no matter what we've done, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you can change us and make us more like Christ, Lord. And I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.